Bear on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Courtney Cronin down at the combine, getting all the insight that we need. We got to figure out some of the things that she's heard, some of the things that she's learned down there. Got to talk about all of that. Also, Greeny and Hembo having a conversation. Mike Greenberg on Greeny, his radio show, talking about Justin Fields and whether he's out the door and when he's out the door, because it doesn't seem like they believe that he's sticking around. And then we got report cards yesterday from the Bears, and apparently our food sucks. How's that possible? Got to talk about all that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button. Leave that five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, how's the combine?
It's exhausting. We're on day four right now. I got down here on Monday, and very little sleep. The weather went from like 70 degrees to, what is it right now? What does my phone say? 34 right now. So it's just, it's a lot. Like, there's a lot. Like, I'm at the convention center right now. The DBs talk today. The workouts are happening right now at Lucas Oil Stadium. So D-line, I think DBs, and also linebackers are going today. So we're starting to get that to that part of it. Like, combines in, goes in phases. So like the early phase is when the media availability is. By the end of the week, you know, you're getting different position groups now just coming into town as others are leaving. And then, of course, tomorrow, I mean, tomorrow's going to be nuts. We're all going to hear from Caleb Williams. We can dissect every damn word he says and find out if he's just coached really well in speaking, or if there's any sort of red flags from stuff that he says during his media availability.
Yeah, we got our first chance to kind of hear, I guess, for those who read, to hear from Caleb Williams in the Peter Thamel article on ESPN. And I thought it, you know, listen, it sounds like the coaching aspect of it is there. He said, I love Michael Jordan, I love Walter Payton, and I love deep dish pizza. I've never felt more confident that a guy wants to come to Chicago in my life. What did you take away from that article, though, Courtney? And what's kind of been the vibe down there around the Caleb Williams buzz?
Yeah, I'm not saying it lacks sincerity, but it felt calculated in the timing of it to come out the day that he was going to meet with the Chicago Bears that night. This came out in the morning, but like the way, like you picked like two of the greatest sports icons in the city's history, and you pick the most touristy of pizzas. Like, I'm sorry. And this is like my like controversial take. I'm not a deep dish gal. I'm not. I like tavern style. I like cracker.
Nobody's
crust.
A deep
like
dish person
square
in Chicago
cut pizza. But it just drives me nuts because it's like, there's so, I don't know, every once in a while. And I love David Kaplan. I know that Mindy and her Lou Malnati's, like, I want all of the Lou Malnati's I can get because I think it's the best deep dish pizza. But like, I just, it. Like, someone's got to get like Caleb and be like, yo, man, like, you're not going to win anybody over with this because you sound brand new when you say that. But I, all joking aside about his like invoking certain things where he thinks he can get, you know, you're saying things because you think you're going to get a rise out of people and be like, oh, he really does want to come to Chicago. I don't know why you do the article if there was any sort of like, you can't really walk any of that back now. You know what I mean? Like, if he really didn't want to come to Chicago, you wouldn't go and say these things, because he's getting these same questions tomorrow morning on top of the fact that people are going to want to know how was the meeting with the Bears, the Commanders, the New England Patriots, all the teams that he met with at the top of the draft order, and what did the Bears sell him on their ability to develop him down, you know, the first year of his career all the way down to maybe like the 10th year of his career. But, you know, the part about I don't have an agenda, I thought that that was kind of an interesting line, because of course he's going to say, if you're coached or not, to say this, like, I'm excited about wherever I'm drafted. But like him saying, I don't have an agenda to push, and that ultimately the Bears, if they do draft him, have the final say, for him like acknowledging that, I thought was important within this article. But again, like it, the timing of it, the sincere factor of it, like, it just, you know, there are questions within all of that that are naturally raised when there are questions about, you know, that have been raised about whether a quarterback's want to of playing in a certain team. And, you know, usually that stuff doesn't come from absolutely nowhere. So we'll see. I mean, I'll be curious to see what his biggest takeaways are from those 20-minute formal interviews that he has with the Bears.
It's going to be interesting. And the one part that I did feel was sincere was him talking about, this is the moment that I've waited for my whole life. And I'm not sitting here worried about where it's going to be. I'm going to be excited if the Bears draft me. If they trade the pick, I'm going to be excited to go there. I think we get so lost in, like, the agenda and the underlined mean and tone of everything that we do kind of forget that this is, like, this guy's biggest day of his life to this point. So it was really good to see that and get that out of there. I guess what has kind of been the feel around? Is it just kind of like the Caleb buzz, or is there more of a buzz for some of these other players down there as well coming up from the quarterback position? Because I believe Drake May speaks tomorrow as well, right? Like, is there kind of a buzz with everybody?
There is, but like Caleb and the buzz is different because most everybody I've talked to has made it sound like post Ryan Poles comments on Tuesday that it's a foregone conclusion that the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams, that they're going to utilize the most valuable asset in sports, which is the number one overall pick in the NFL draft when you have the whole draft board sitting in front of you. And I feel like we've become convinced of it, and maybe that's a giant smokescreen. I don't know. I don't believe it to be.
It's the biggest smokescreen
of all time
in NFL history.
And it's just, you know, sometimes some people are like, oh, well, it's rumor season, it's lying season. That may be the case, but like this stuff doesn't just come out of nowhere. Like this came from what Ryan Poles said, and what Matt Eberflus kind of like backing up what Ryan Poles said over the last, you know, 48 hours, and it's continued to percolate. And the buzz around Caleb Williams is palpable here because I remember going for Bryce Young's podium availability last year and how many people were there for that. Like it, you know, you better get there early tomorrow morning if you're going to get anywhere close to be able to hear what Caleb Williams is saying. And now you get to ask the important questions. You get to ask about who he met with, how those visits went, but also hearing it again, like literally hearing it from his mouth instead of reading it, I think carries a lot of power and will, you know, go a long way with Bears fans and hearing from Caleb Williams, especially those who may not be on the Caleb Williams train, which certainly feels that there are fewer and fewer. But this is just the beginning, honestly, before they get to a point like where by next week, do we know about Justin Fields? Because if we don't, then there's like at this time, you know, March, whatever we're at, you know, all these, you know, a week away, if we don't have answers on stuff, then you're like, okay, are the Bears maybe not considering Caleb Williams because of if they're waiting to trade Justin Fields and they haven't already? I don't know. It just feels like a weird, like almost like certainty that something's going to happen the way that we expect it to, which of course, then it's Murphy's Law. Like it never goes the way that you expect, like the craziest thing will happen. And what that crazy is, I don't know, but I'm very eager to find that out.
Does it feel like we heard Mike Greenberg and Hembo having this debate where kind of that if you're going to work a deal out, it's going to get done here and Justin Fields won't be a part of this team much longer. Is that kind of the feeling that people are having down there as well? That, yes, Ryan Poles put out all of the fires on, I'm coming down here to get a Justin Fields deal done. But it doesn't mean that one isn't going to get done. Does it feel like this is kind of going to be done by the time we get finished with the combine?
Everybody I've spoken with, and obviously nothing's been done, and people can draw the dots and connect them and read the tea leaves all they want. Like we haven't heard anything yet. Now, whether a deal is done currently and they're just waiting for whatever reason, I don't believe that to be true, but I do think that it's trending towards by this time next week, we know. And I don't know if you felt that same buzz with the number one overall pick changing hands last year. Like, again, we all thought that, and it was our first time seeing Ryan Poles operate in that space of pulling off a massive, massive trade and changing the draft order significantly. But he, you know, told us last year, no, I want to get this done before free agency. And a lot of us thought, okay, cool. If you can, you might get a better price if you wait. But like he followed his timeline. So I think we have nothing to do but understand kind of where he's at right now and seeing that if he is, you know, he's very convicted in doing something. So like if he says he wants to get something done, a Justin trade by the start of, you know, the free agency, then I don't think that we can say that anything other than, all right, be on Justin watch. Like, that's what I'm leaving here. Like, if nothing happens by the time I'm done covering the quarterbacks and wide receivers tomorrow, then we're on Justin watch. Like, every tweet, every time your phone buzzes, you're going to be thinking, is this the moment where you find out if something is going to happen with the current quarterback of the Bears?
Yeah, and I think the conversation that we had Tuesday when Ryan Poles talked about, I want to get it done quickly, like tomorrow, if I can, right? That to me, it felt like almost like the, hey, if you want to talk to me, if we want to do this, let's have the conversations, because I want to do right by Justin Fields. I want to make sure that if I am moving him, he's in the best situation possible for him moving forward. That's the only reason why, like, the timeline of this, it seems like this would be the best time to get something done, because realistically speaking, if you wait post free agency, I don't think any deals are going to change that would get worked out here.
Well, think about all the other quarterbacks that come into play that when that negotiate, like, this is why I think it has to actually be done probably prior to March 11th, which is the start of the legal tampering negotiating period opens. Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, other names that potentially could be on the move, or, you know, as free agents, like, you don't want those destinations to go to them. If you're the Chicago Bears trying to trade Justin Fields, like, you want to have the best options available, which is any option, multiple is better than fewer, and having the chance to get the draft capital you want, because if you wait, that's only going to, like, significantly hinder the amount that you can get after the start of the new league year, because all the other quarterbacks that, like, Kirk may go back to Minnesota. That's not, like, a completely unheard of outcome. But nobody thinks that Russ is going to stay in Denver. So it's like, all right, well, which spot is Russ going to occupy? Then that's a spot that Justin Fields, if he's not already traded by that point, would not be able to occupy. So it's a leverage game, and it's a leverage game of, you know, which team, like, what is he worth? Like, let's, like, I still can't get a general consensus. And I think we've struggled with that for the last couple of months on, like, what Justin Fields is worth to teams. Is it a second? Is it a third? And you start, like, hearing the idea of, I don't know if he's worth a second. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I believe that, but it's just you're gathering all of it and processing it in real time and trying to figure out ultimately what they end up with.
Is there a scenario here where, not to say they don't take Caleb Williams, but where they feel that the compensation they're getting back is not enough for Justin Fields, and they can't move on from him because it's too much of a loss?
No, I hear you. Like, I've run that scenario in my mind. It's obviously one that Ryan Poles has to think through. I just can't. They don't want to give him away for nothing. Like, I totally get that part, but you can't put yourself in a situation where, you know, they're building something, and culture wise, like, if they couldn't trade Fields in your scenario, it'd be like Fields would then play this season out. They'd have to pick up the option. I would, you know, that's just the only thing that you do in that situation. And then you let Caleb sit, like, just because it's like, all right, what if some team, like, said, well, we're only going to offer a fifth round pick because they feel like they're calling the Bears bluff because they're desperate to move him. It's something they have to consider, but I just don't think that's why they have to be so calculated in, if we get a good offer, like, let's pull the trigger right now and not wait, because you don't want to be stuck.
That's probably, I think that's a situation that, like, a lot of us haven't thought about. But as you start to look at the odds, as you start to look at the teams that want Justin Fields, you really keep saying the same three. And the third team you're not even sure about here, where you go Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and then for some reason the Raiders are in there. And you're just like, I don't think the Raiders, why would Luke Getsy want to run that back? Like, that's where, like, now as you're getting closer, and if a deal does get done and the Bears go, I don't know if that compensation is good enough for us, I don't think if you wait this out, it gets better. I don't think if you wait this out, you're going to get all of a sudden they're going to be like, you know what? We still suck at quarterback. We'll send you a two for Justin Fields. Like, it's the only reason why, and I want Justin to be here, but if you're going to trade Justin, I kind of agree with Greeny that it has to be something that gets worked out here, because this is where the most intrigue is still going to be there for.
Yeah, and that's, like, striking when the iron's hot. That's why they did it last year with the number one overall pick. They laid the groundwork. They had their meetings. They came away from Indianapolis with, you know, I think it was, you know, Carolina obviously ends up with the pick, but that's where most, like, the trade almost fell through by Thursday. So, like, I mean, Tuesday was the day that Scott Fitter, the former GM of the Carolina Panthers, said that he felt confident, and then it was like the next day or Thursday where it's like, man, is this thing actually going to go through? Is there something else? Like, you've got to be able to get your groundwork laid so then, like, the negotiations happen at a, you know, the next 72 hours coming out of here. Now, I don't disagree with Greeny. I see the premise of potentially getting this thing done now, and then Monday, Tuesday, boom, a trade happens. Like, I could also see them like waiting it out until later in the week. We truly just don't know, which is why being on Justin Fields' watch is going to be such a pertinent topic next week because of the timeline. And I know he said he's not just going to rush this thing through just to meet an arbitrary deadline.
Yeah.
We kind of have to in the circumstance and doing it striking before free agency starts.
No, 100%. It feels like the pressure is mounting. Everything's coming down to this. And yeah, the Bears are in a great situation here, but can you get that fire hotter for Justin Fields? That's really what it's going to come down to. Has there been any talk around, I guess, other teams that maybe feel like they could be in a position to trade up for Caleb Williams on the concerns that many Bears fans have had on the leadership side? Do the teams down there share some of those similar concerns, and they're just as excited to get in on these interviews, Washington, New England, teams like that?
I think that like there's some genuine, I had a conversation with a source yesterday that there are some genuine things you've got to find out about Caleb Williams, because we're in the NIL era of quarterbacks that are, you know, powerful guys who've already made multi-million dollars before they've ever played a snap in the NFL. And they're wired differently because different things, you know, different things mean different things to different people always. But like, are they going to be a team first guy? What's the leadership going to look like in the locker room? How does this translate to success in the NFL? Those are questions that you start to find the answers to. Like, you really don't learn, honestly, a whole ton in these formal interviews. That they are important, but like the meat of it is when you're spending time with these guys, when you're doing visits, flying out to have dinner with players before their pro days, having them in on top 30 visits. Like, it's all part of that process. And it's not just the Bears doing their homework on Caleb Williams. Washington, for obvious reasons, at sitting there at two, all of the ties to Williams and in DC and Cliff Kingsbury and all of that. Of course, New England, there's so much to absorb here with all of these top quarterback prospects. And even though you get the gist that most people here think, oh, Caleb's not making it past one, the Bears are going to take him.
Yeah.
The other teams still have to do their homework on Caleb Williams and get to know him, even if it feels like that it's a slam dunk that the Bears are going to take him. Like, you have to do that. And there's, I think it's, you know, we don't hear that much about Drake May or Jaden Daniels or any of the other quarterbacks because Caleb has been like basically like overshadowing all of this, you know, the subject matter around Caleb completely overshadows everything else around these other quarterbacks that we at the same time need to learn about.
Well, listen, Dan Orlovsky said, was that today on Get Up, that he feels like the Bears should take Jaden Daniels number one overall. Are we, the eye roll says so much.
Crap. I don't think so. Like, look, and I know that that's something now, because we're getting into silly season of wondering, all right, how much is the draft order going to change? You and I have talked about Jaden Daniels going above Drake May at number two, like two and three flipping. I don't know if we're going to see that same sort of like, okay, is this guy 1A, 1B? Could the order flip? I don't think you'd do that. I don't buy that to be realistic.
It would. I mean, that's a scenario where you're probably going, which I guess is something that's been thrown out there, right? Where you're probably trading Justin and you're trading the pick, trying to get some picks back, and you take Jaden two or three like that. I don't know if you're taking Jaden number one overall, no matter what. I think if you're moving on from Caleb Williams as the quarterback, you're trying to get that draft capital back. And I mean, yeah, you're probably starting a firestorm here, because now everybody's going to be looking at you like, what'd you see that's wrong? What you get out of this that you feel, or they'll just believe the Bears are doing what the Bears do. You never know with this team, but I thought that was funny this morning when he was like, listen, I just think the best quarterback in the draft is Caleb Williams. And I was like, what? That was a switch. That was a quick switch there. I've seen that before.
No, I mean, the Jaden Daniels things, he's how quickly he rose from, like, you know, one really, really good game last year at LSU that, you know, effectively cemented his Heisman case, to where he entered the draft conversation a couple of months ago, to now where people have him slated as a, you know, a top two pick. Like, yeah. Who knows how it could change? I don't know if it's going to change to the it that drastically to where he could be number one overall. Even if you think he might be the best pure prospect, you're basing that on ceiling, not on, you know, I just couldn't see it.
I couldn't either. Is he down at the combine as well? Is he slated?
He'll talk tomorrow, and then the quarterbacks all work out on Saturday.
Sounds good. I can't wait to see what he does. Hopefully he does something more than like just throw the football at the ceiling. I got Anthony Richardson, a high pick in the draft. Like, look at his cannon. Like, he can't hit people in the hands. But look at it. He hit the ceiling. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Hit the like button. Subscribe to the page. Let's talk about something interesting that came out yesterday, Court. The Bears got their grades from the NFLPA. They basically poll, I believe it's 13,000 players or something, somewhere in there. Or 1,300 players, I should say. And sitting there talking about a bunch of different topics like ownership, head coach, team travel, weight room, and nutrition and cafeteria. And the Bears got some interesting grades here that I think might surprise a lot of Bears fans. Who would have thought head coach would be a B? But they do rank them 25th in the NFL.
I do, like, and that's the thing where it's like, all right, the overall grade versus overall rank. I don't know how they differentiate between, like, the letter grade and, like, the number rank. But I'm not surprised. Like, you know, this team's a 7-10 team after an 0-4 start. Like, those guys played hard. You're not just going to, like, you know, whatever Eberflus was telling them and, you know, kind of telling them what we know is to keep, you know, keep steady, that they're riding the ship. Like, very clearly guys bought into that. So to see a B-plus grade for Matt Eberflus, the team just retained him. Like, when they could have moved on and fired him after 2 years and they said he's deserving of getting that third year, I'm not surprised by that by any stretch, because I don't, if he didn't have those grades, I think I'd kind of be concerned about the direction of the Chicago Bears going forward after the decisions that they made this offseason.
I think the part that's now locker room, does that mean locker room like the players or locker room the actual building?
Locker room itself, to my understanding,
so the facility itself.
Yeah, it's in the facility. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, are they saying like the culture, the vibe around the
team? No, because it's like a physical facility.
Locker room got an A-. The Bears apparently have the fourth best locker room in the NFL, according to players. I thought that was pretty. It is a nice locker room. I've been inside. It's really nice.
No, it is. And I mean, it's clean. There's space. You know, some of these older facilities, whether it's Washington, whether it's Kansas City, Green Bay, some of them you can tell, like Pittsburgh. Oh, God. Like, you see the interviews in Pittsburgh. They're like wooden lockers around everywhere. But the Bears do have a very nice facility, like internally, like that stuff for players at Halas Hall, which is a good thing.
Here's the two that probably concern me the most. We got treatment of family C+. But the ranking in the NFL is 11th. So are we just like doing families dirty here?
See, that's, again, I just don't know about the difference between like the grade and then like ranking them out of 32 teams, because here's what it says. An area that players felt had improved from last year's treatment of their families. The Bears started providing daycare on game day for players' children and added a family tent during training camp. The players feel like the care has been better this season. It reflected in the responses. So I think they got a D last year in treatment of families, and that's everything from daycare during the games to how families are treated when they come onto campus, more or less, for training camp. And, you know, during, you know, after the games, what does the family lounge look like? The players' family lounge, like how does that work? That's the stuff that the NFLPA was evaluating. And, you know, I think those are some, like, the fact that they made improvements and players, like, we're not going to see what the responses were, but the fact that the NFLPA said that was reflected in the responses that they got, that shows that the Bears were listening and that they do take these report cards seriously. All teams do. They have to, because this is anonymous and this is the best way for improvements to happen. Otherwise, you know, I don't know if everybody would, like, be honest and be willing to speak up about stuff if it was the other way around, where this didn't exist.
It's like when you I agree with you. I don't get the ranking plus the letter grade, because to me, right, like, listen, C+ is great for me. I got through school on C's. I'm not going to sit here and act like I was a phenomenal student. I was not a, you know, college kid out here dominating. I got through high school and was like, I better go find a job. But being 11th, right, like, that is kind of like my high school experience, where it's like, I'm one of the better people passing through here with my C's. Like, who's at the bottom of this list? It's just like, you guys,
Washington,
hate people.
Washington, the Cardinals, like, I mean, my God, the Cardinals had like D+ for treatment of families, D for food, locker room was an F. You know, Atlanta got a lot of Fs. They got F for the locker room, F for the weight room, F minus for strength coaches. So very clearly, a lot of these guys were not happy at all with the, you know, with the part of the, you know, part of it's like, do you have the infrastructure in place? Not just, this is not just coaching, and obviously there's the head coach grade, but right. like, do you have the infrastructure in place to help guys succeed, which is the facility, which is the weight room, which is, you know, the coaching staff that lets those players get better, and the resources they're allowed to use and have like provided to them to get better. And it's, you know, having known kind of like the landscape of the NFL, like what these facilities look like, seeing some of these grades like are just like, yeah, of course, rinse, repeat. I'm not surprised by some of that. Because some of these facilities are really, really old and need to be upgraded.
It is promising to hear. And I would love, like, I'd probably never really paid attention to these grades before this year. But I would love to see kind of like what the vibe was with training staff, training room, weight room, strength coaches for previous regimes, because Flew seems to be hitting it out of the park with his entire staff and the Bears training staff as a whole. I mean, training staff, 10th best in the NFL. They get a B on that. Training room, sixth best in the NFL. They get a B plus on that. Sixth best weight room in the NFL. They get an A on that. Like, that means you're prioritizing, first off, getting stronger like it's football. And second off, making sure that these guys are in a position to actually recover from the things that happened to them on the field. You're prioritizing both sides of it, and I love to hear that.
I had a long talk with a I won't name him by name, but like I had a long talk during locker cleanout with a veteran Bears player about, you know, the amount of money that guys have to put into their bodies outside of their training facilities, and it's a lot. Like, you know, it does feel like the Bears have, you know, you don't hear anything in talking to players about, oh, like I have to go do all this extra stuff out of pocket elsewhere because it's not available in any capacity at my facility. I do think that they have, you know, a lot going for them in that respect. In the weight room and training staff, like those are, that's like one of the most critical pieces of an NFL franchise. Like having those things work for you so players don't have to then go out of their own pocket if they get injured, if they, you know, don't feel like they're, you know, at max capacity, like playing at peak performance because of the, you know, of what's around them that they have to go spend out of their own pocket. Players are naturally not going to like that. So, you know, the grades that you see, pull this thing back up, the grades that you see for, you know, poor, like strength coaches, like Atlanta is one of them. You know, the weight rooms that like are really bad, apparently the Chargers, which I know that they're moving facilities though. So like that's some important context. I think that needs to be in there too, but there aren't many F grades for that. New England Patriots. I guess that's not too surprising because I know they have an older facility as well, but this is what prompts teams to kind of like put their feet to the fire. Like, hey, if your players aren't happy, this is for public, for everybody to see. And if you don't want to have your grades revealed like that, then you're going to fix it.
The strength coach for Atlanta getting an F, he's going to be like, what'd I do? What did that? Nothing, clearly. Like, here's the most surprising one on the list out of everything. I thought the head coach was a little surprising, but apparently a lot of people like it. More so the ranking than anything. He's a B, but he's at the bottom of the NFL. Wait a minute. Hold on now. We suck at food. Like the nutrition and dietitian, I almost can get that, right? Because in Chicago, there's a lot of food that's going to mess up your diet and make you not eat well. How do we suck at food in the cafeteria?
I think it's preference, and it's not to say that they don't have healthy options. I know that that was part of the overall summary that players would like to see more healthy options. I've walked by the cafeteria before. I've never gone in, so I can't speak to the daily offerings other than like little snippets of what I've heard that they serve. There's always something new every single day, and like culturally they try to like wrap people's different cultures into the menu and have like, you know, meat options, vegetarian options, chicken. Like I don't know. I mean, we can it's the quality too. You know, if people, like these players are at the facility every single day, eating three square meals a day there, like what you put into your body is as important as the weight room, all of those other things. And I don't know what the overall issue is. I just know that that grade is one that they're certainly going to want to try to improve on. And I don't know, maybe it's catering, maybe it's the chef, maybe it's a lot of different things, but there's certainly some room for growth with that grade.
I thought the only time I've seen anything was I remember Braxton. I saw Braxton as he was coming out. Braxton Jones as he was coming out. And they give you like a tray. And I was like, they're feeding him like they're in high school almost. And it was like a wrapped up sandwich on there. And then there was like a juice that he had bought there. And I was like, it looks like a high school meal. But like in my mind, I was just like, oh, Braxton probably is just a young guy that eats like he's still in college or is in high school. Like he's not worried as much. But maybe that's just what they're eating out there. Maybe they're giving you that chicken sandwich from high school that used to be fire with a little bit of mayo on it and a barbecue sauce.
Lord. Yeah, I don't know. Like I know that, you know, players are like these guys have private chefs. They have high expectations for what they eat based on what they spend outside of the facility. So that factors in here too.
They're getting a little bougie. Is that what you're saying? Maybe they're getting a little bougie on this.
I think people have preferences, and you know, when you have such a limited time in the grand scheme of things to be at like peak physical capacity, like you're going to be overthinking some of these things, and you're maybe like putting a lot more emphasis is probably the fair way of saying that.
Justin's mad that we didn't have enough vegan options last year, and he's like, "Is he
even vegan anymore? Isn't he?"
No, he's pescatarian now. Yeah, he's pescatarian.
So that's like vegan. It's you know, you don't eat meat. You just eat the only protein that's not plant that you would eat would be fish.
The fake vegans, is that what you called them?
Like I've heard people say like, oh, I'm vegan, but I eat fish. I'm like, no, that's called pescatarian. Not that he has. I just remember like for a while I think he was vegan.
My it's so funny because like my mom does like a more so vegan diet until she doesn't feel like it. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, but I like you guys are getting burgers. I have a burger. And I'm just like, what's with the vegan thing? Are you vegan. Just doing it? Just a weekday vegan? You're just a Monday through Friday vegan on the weekends?
It's just a healthy preference. Like, you know, she's just trying to be healthy and then splurge when she wants to.
Oh, man. Let's do our road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go, Platonist. Places. Courtney, we got to put you on the clock yet again. We got Mel Kiper's latest mock draft yesterday. Not a lot of change. Mm-hmm. But is Mel's latest mock draft the Chicago Bears' best plan to success? First overall, of course, he takes Caleb Williams. 9th overall, he ends up going Malik Nabers. And what he said about Nabers is, we're back around to the Bears, to whom I gave quarterback Caleb Williams at number one. I thought about offensive line here, though it might be a little early for Troy Fontenot from Washington, the best guard in the class. I also considered cornerback, though Chicago could franchise tag or sign a big extension to free agent Jalen Johnson, which would plug that hole. And since this is a strange year for edge rushers, Laté Latu from UCLA, who has medical questions that should be answered at the combine, and I don't have a top 15 grade on Jared Verse, let's instead select a dynamic playmaker to make Williams' life easier.
If Malik is this Nabers the right answer? There, yeah, it's the right answer. If Malik Nabers is there, but like the buzz of like, you know, right now we expect the quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3 to go off the board, 4, 5, and 6 to be receivers. That's early because it's still February. But of course, over the next couple of weeks of the draft order changing, who's going to rise during their pro days, who's going to rise from the way that they measure at the combine, the way they perform at the combine, that will affect the draft order. But if Malik Nabers falls from 6 or something to 9 and is there, you go ahead and you pair your rookie quarterback with another weapon on the outside. So he has DJ Moore and then Malik Nabers. Like, unless you think you're going to be pulling off a trade for Justin Jefferson, you use a high asset like that, you know, a really good draft asset on that, on a quarterback and on somebody to help insulate him from day one.
And just the only question I ask from that is then where do you get enough assets to try and address this offensive line? I think center is a major piece. Left tackle, I'm not a Braxton Jones fan. We had Brandon Thorne on yesterday. He said Braxton Jones really struggles with the pass protection. He's better in run blocking situations, but you've got a couple of pieces on this offensive line that I do think need addressing. And if we're being 100% honest, like I love Tevin Jenkins, but I'm very nervous about Tevin Jenkins every time a season starts because is he going to be out there? Is he going to be hurt? Are we going to be putting in Larry Borum to step in for a couple of starts there? Like, I do think there needs to be I love getting the receiver, but the quarterback has to be able to stand up long enough to get the ball to the receiver. And I'm scared that if we take, not to say I wouldn't take Neighbors at nine, but if you take him there, is Caleb Williams going to have that time to get the ball to him? Or are we just rehashing the Justin Fields conversation?
Yeah, you've got to put your quarterback in the right situation where it's an ascending offensive line. Like, you already know that you have Tevin Jenkins when healthy, you know, Darnell Wright, your franchise right tackle, and then they signed Nate Davis for a reason. I know last year, for a lot of different circumstances, it didn't pan out the way that they had hoped, but those are three pieces right there. Even if you're not certain about Braxton Jones, they can draft a tackle early. It doesn't have to be day one, but it can be day two, second or third round, assuming they can get a second round pick. And I think they'll be fine there. I don't think that they're going to go about neglecting the offensive line by any stretch. Ryan Poles is a former offensive lineman, so we've heard that from him. It's just, where do they address center? Because I know you and I, with Jordan Reed a couple weeks ago, had a great conversation about what about trading back from nine and getting a center somewhere 17, 18 later in the first round. If that can happen, then that is great. But does that also mean that you're spending in free agency? I think they honestly could hit that from multiple different angles and walk away feeling pretty confident about the room they're going to have to grow at that position.
We'll see what they end up doing. That was the Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. All right, Courtney, let's finish it out with this. Anything, any nuggets, anything you haven't given the old Cabin J Hood Show, Waddle and Sylvie, that that you've heard down there that might be good for the podcast?
I have a story that's coming out in a couple days, hopefully before they trade the pick and that my reporting doesn't all just go to garbage because if something happens, or hopefully before they, you know, if they trade Justin, the story comes out. There was one GM in our reporting that does think that the Bears should keep Fields, and that it wasn't as much of a unanimous thing. Like, you know, in my reporting and some of my colleagues being able to ask their people in the NFL. So I thought that that was really unique and a very interesting perspective, because this GM had the trade. It could just be a smokescreen out there. Like, somebody's going to see an NFL GM said this. Can you believe that? But I don't necessarily believe that that means that's the route that the Ryan Poles is going to go or what he thinks. But I did think that was interesting that somebody of that sort of position went the route of keep Fields, build around him, get whatever you can for the number one overall pick. And it could be a business perspective too, about like, if you really think you can get the haul that you're expecting, going ahead and doing that.
Well, we'll see in a couple of days when that story comes out around which team that GM is from, because that will dictate how confident Bears fans feel about that one. But we appreciate you for tuning in. You're going to work very hard down there, Courtney. Keep it up.
Exhausting.
Try to get some sleep standing up.
I appreciate it.
We appreciate all of you guys for tuning in to Show of Love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, lead a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. For Courtney Cronin, I'm Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Let's get this one right, huh? Maybe just a little bit. Peace.